SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. Call at the top of the hour as we run behind. And Jay Pridman of the Daily Racing Forum joins us. Jay, hope you had a happy Thanksgiving.
And I hope you did too, Steve.
I appreciate it. And we'll continue to nosh all weekend. And haven't talked about the story yet, Jay. I've left it to you. And after we got off the air on Tuesday, a few hours later, you came with the news of Gary Stevens' official retirement from the game, an absolute legend.
Yeah, no, Gary was injured in a post-parade incident on Saturday at Del Mar, and he thought he had only pinched his a nerve in his shoulder. But when he went to see the orthopedist on Monday, they did an MRI. The results showed that he had some damage in his with his C4, his cervical 4, was pressing up against his spine, and the doctor told him, like, you have to stop now. You can't keep riding. So I know Gary's had two previous comebacks from retirements, but, I mean, this one's permanent. As the doctor told him, he's done. And the doctor who he dealt with for that is someone who Gary's had a long-time relationship with. Unfortunately, because of some of the injuries he's had over the years, he's had a frequent punch card at the orthopedist's office. And James Saboni, who's an extremely well-respected sports orthopedist in the Los Angeles area, is the one who Gary has worked with over the years, pretty much since the retirement of the legendary Dr. Robert Kierlin. And he was the one who delivered the news to him. So Gary called me on Tuesday to tell me what was going on, and so we reported the news then.
And it's a little reminiscent of the way Rich Migliore had to absolutely retire, and where they just said another fall could result in paralysis.
Yeah, and Lafitte Pincay had a similar situation.
That's right.
Too. Unfortunately, that really just shows that we all are aware of it, but I think it oftentimes takes incidents like this, or unfortunately sometimes even worse, for people to really realize what danger these guys are in every half hour when they go out there. And I think that's something to take into consideration when the boobirds are out. I mean, that doesn't mean you can't criticize somebody's ride, but it's a lot different than just sitting behind a desk and making a typo in your copy.
Exactly. And, even though so much has been written and said about Stevens' great career, this addendum, coming back from the hip replacement and the knee, it for him to then win another classic, it's just amazing to me. And, his place, obviously, his legacy is among, Jay, what, the top eight, top nine of all time?
I mean, he's certainly among the best I've ever seen. I mean, I thought when Gary was in his prime, he, to me, was the most beautiful-looking rider on the back of a horse I've ever seen. I mean, he just looked like he melded right into that horse. His back was smooth, and he just looked beautiful on the back of a horse. Like, that's what he was born to do. And there was a really interesting stat from Kevin Modesty, who works at the LA Daily News. He now works in the editorial department, writing opinion pieces. But, for years he covered baseball, and he took over the horse racing beat there when I left years ago to go work for the late lamented Racing Times. But he's covered baseball and horse racing extensively, and he had a stat that he put on Twitter last night that there's been about as many 5,000 winner jockeys as there have been 3,000 hit baseball players. And that, you know, Stevens has more than 5,000 wins. And he said he would rank, in terms of number of wins for a jockey, at about the same level that Wade Boggs would for 3,000 hitters. Well, so that's a pretty good comparison. Wade Boggs is one of the greatest hitters we've ever seen. But, I mean, Gary just, you know, Gary was just a brilliant writer. And like you said, the final act that he had when he came back from being off for 6 years and winning the Preakness that first year back in 2013 on Oxbow, and then a couple years later winning the Breeders' Cup Classic with Mucho Macho Man, and then that final race for Beholder and winning that dramatic distaff over Songbird. I mean, those were just some great moments, and that came in the, you know, the last two pages of a long of a many-chaptered book on his life and writing career.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, it's been, I mean, for me, one of my real thrills doing this show, the ability, the opportunity to get to know Gary Stevens and talk to him about those moments. And in particular, when he was at, I think it was before, probably before the week of, I think it was the week of I Want Another. I'll Have Another. Or California Chrome. I can't remember, but he talked for an hour and 15 minutes about his Belmont Stakes history, and it you know, you just sit there starry-eyed listening to him.
No, he's got great recall of those races. I mean, he's had some great moments in those races. Frustrating bid for a Triple Crown when he was on Silver Charm. You know, a Triple Crown that I know he thinks got away with Point Gibbon, who lost the Derby and then won the Preakness and was a blowout winner of the Belmont, and then really one of the top two or three rides of his career had to be the Belmont Stakes that he won on Victory Gallop, beating Real Quiet. I know everybody's over the years is focused on what Kent DeSormo did or didn't do in that race in terms of the tactics he employed, but the bottom line is, in the final quarter mile of that Belmont Stakes, there were two different times that Gary split horses on Victory Gallop. And if in either of those two cases he has to go around, he doesn't get up in time. And it was really just one of the most brilliant big race rides you'll ever see.
Andy Serling put that up the other day, Tuesday afternoon. He put a link on the YouTube video of it and was gushing over it as well. Whatever his next act will be, whether back to acting or back to the broadcast booth or whatever he wants to do, he's been a success at everything he's done every time.
That's certainly true. No, he's had great success at in all those endeavors, and I'm sure he'll be back doing things like that in the near future for sure.
Jay, a couple of quick hits about the weekend racing at Del Mar and the holiday racing. Had an upset yesterday. Got to just mention the red carpet. And I know somebody that you always talk glowingly about, Ray Bell, with a nice win. India Mantuana upsets the red carpet at 18-19-1.
Yeah, I mean, I've known Ray for a long, long time. I mean, by his father's and grandfather, just two legendary horsemen out here in California, going back to the days of, like, you know, Rumbo, who ran against Genuine Risk back in 1980. They were aligned with that group. And, you know, Ray doesn't have that many horses, but, he's a top horseman. He's out there every day working his butt off, and it was really nice to see him win the red carpet yesterday. And I thought Tyler Bayes rode a good race, and I think, as I wrote on Twitter after the race, there are a lot of riders in that race who want that race back. They kind of went to sleep during the race, and Tyler stole it on Indian Mantuana.
Well, I don't know if you are including Flavian Pratt in the, but maybe he's sleep deprived because you did send out the note about the baby.
Yeah, his agent Derek Lawson told me on morning that he had that his wife Manon had had their first child, a daughter, late Tuesday night. So congratulations to them. It's pretty exciting, and yeah, Flavian was back out trying to make some money to pay for the bassinet and all the baby clothes. He won the first race yesterday, and he just did miss with Siberian Iris, who came and made a late run and finished second in the red carpet.
Well, baby really needs a new pair of shoes, or any shoes. Jay, later today, the Hollywood Turf Cup, one of those Hollywood kind of remnants that that still live in name, and you know, the Hollywood Turf Festival period kind of spread out here over the next couple of weekends.
Well, yeah, all these races are really remnants of the old Hollywood Park fall meeting. You've got the Turf Cup today. You know, the red carpet yesterday is sort of the old Beverly Hills handicap that used to be run at Hollywood Park. And then you've got, you know, like obviously next weekend, you've got the Hollywood Derby and the Matriarch, which are great big races that were run there. And there's several other races this weekend as well that are analogous to races that used to be run at Hollywood Park. As for the Turf Cup today, you know, it's not the best field. There's a lot of horses here kind of on the backside of their careers, but I think Mike Maker did a sharp thing. He kind of looked at the lay of the land and saw what this field was shaping up as, and shipped the bigger picture out here, and I think he'll be the horse to beat in here. One interesting note, we were talking a few moments ago about Gary Stevens. I mean, he would have been on Ashley Loves Sugar and was named on this horse at entry time on Sunday, because at that point the results of his tests were not even known. And so, but Gary told me he's going to come out for the race today. He really is fond of Ashley Loves Sugar, and he wants to be there to root for him. Tyler Bayes is going to replace him on Ashley Loves Sugar, but Gary will be out for that race today, and I'm sure he'll be in the paddock before the race.
Nice, and then we get into the rest of the weekend, which includes the Native Diver and the Cecil DeMille, Cecil B. DeMille, and on Sunday, Saturday, the Durante and the Seabiscuit.
Yep, should be a really good weekend of racing.
Jay Brittman, as always, I appreciate it. We'll look forward to the rest of the holiday, and we'll talk next week.
All right, see you, Steve.
Jay Brittman, everybody, DRF Brittman, of course. Let's take a break and come right back, and joined by Marty McGee. And, of course, Marty just turned 59, and I know that particularly. He and I and Jay get a big kick out of this, the three of us. Jay's a December baby, but Marty and I on back-to-back days. Back after this, Marty McGee joins us from Daily Racing Forum. We'll talk about this unbelievable Saturday card, particularly today. It's Clark Day, and it's the Clark. It's a grade one, and the Mrs. Revere, we'll see how the turf's holding up as well. Back after this with Marty.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRFSports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and Kent DeSarmo on Afternoon Delights, absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky, or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
Races 10 minutes into the second hour of this weekend preview, and this weekend also including the great Stars of Tomorrow action at Churchill on Saturday, today Clark Day, and Mrs. Revere and all that. It's also the first Kentucky Derby future wager, and when it comes to KDFW, there's only one guy to talk to. It's Marty McGee. He joins us now.
Hey, Bick. How are you?
I'm good. Happy birthday. 59, like me.
Us 59ers are 59 now.
Exactly.
Yeah, I figured out this is something Isaac Asimov would have had. It's it only happens every other year. If you were born at 58, you became 58 in 2016. If you were born at 57, you became 57 in 2014. If you were born in 1960, you'll become 60 in 2020. It only happens every other year, Vic. So, yeah,
interesting.
There you go. You learned something today.
Very clever. Yeah, I like that. I like that. It's easy for me because my father is exactly 30 years older than me. So, and he was born in June. So, you know, I always know how old he is, and I just subtract 30, and it makes it a snap.
Yeah, well, you know, you said I'm the only guy to talk to about the futures, but it used to be there were two guys because John Asher was the man.
Of course.
You know,
and it was John's.
And for every year, I remember I lived on Sage Road here in Louisville in 1999 when they first started this. And I remember the little room where I was in talking to John over the phone at length, you know, about the whole concept of it and getting it done. And John had put out all the stuff on it every time, you know. So we're talking, this is the 21st year and the first one he missed. So, obviously we all miss John. I had a little tweet out about him yesterday. And
his birthday.
Yesterday was going to be his 63rd birthday.
Exactly.
And, Buckwheat's birthday was Monday. Yours was Tuesday. I was Wednesday. John was yesterday. John Cord is today. He's 58 today.
How about that? That's pretty. I love it. I love it. And do you ever have that conversation with you talk about Buckwheat? And you ever have a conversation with Nick Zito? As many years as Nick had horses at Churchill, he always would call him some other form of gluten.
Yeah.
Just sterile. Always, still make just always make me laugh when Zito would refer to him and he would call him he could never get it right, but buttermilk,
yeah.
Or
whole wheat,
rye bread. It's unbelievable. It's funny because always. you know, I'm always up early on Thanksgiving to cook, and John would invariably have like the first tweet of the, you know, the first Thanksgiving message out there, you know. He'd have an early, he'd be the early bird for Thanksgiving greeting on his, whether it was birthday or not. Well, let's talk about the group, and there's a little bit of a kind of a interesting wrinkle with an all Phillies concept. Why not, I guess?
Why not? I mean, they won't do it for all four pools because as we, you know, if we get closer in March and April and it becomes apparent that there will not be a Philly to run, and there hasn't been one to run since 2010 when Devil May Care ran 10th at a pretty big number for Todd Pletcher. Of course, there hadn't been a winner since 88, 30 years ago with Winning Colors. Right now, Steve, after the first of 4 days of betting into the future wager, that number 23, the Phillies only, is 64-1. So I don't right now it's 56-1. I guess they've already taken betting this morning, but it was 64-1 when I did something at 7 a.m. on this. But I guess people aren't biting on it yet. You know, why not? I think the one thing everybody's waiting for on this thing is the obvious. Give us all of them. Yeah. I guess they couldn't do it now because you haven't had nominations. But when you get the 300 or 400 that they get, you could, if you somehow set up your software, and that's what John Asher always contended. It was a software issue with the tow company. That would become interesting. I think their handle would expand a lot. As it is, I think last year on the four pools combined, they had about 1.8 million aggregate, which is a record and which is not bad, you know. But, you know, otherwise, I think they've kind of run in place in terms of dissatisfaction. Plus, Roxy Roxborough, I remember in 99 when we first talked about it, he said, oil, Perry Mutuals and futures mix like oil and water. So there's still the thing where, I mean, you'd be crazy this weekend to bet on one of the four horses who are running in the Kentucky Jockey Club, because what if something happens to one of them? And you know, you've made your bet unnecessarily. Why would you not wait until Sunday to do it? So anyway, there's a lot of moving parts with these things. And my bottom line contention on this, Steve, is why not? You know, what's it hurt anybody to offer this?
Oh, no, we love it. And we certainly, I mean, I've said any number of times, I mean, the biggest score I've had of this one has actually come in the Oaks. That, you know, they'll be the one Oaks pool in March. But you look at this group, the thing that jumps out is obviously Baffert, you know, the top-heavy impact of the Baffert barn.
Yeah, he has 7 of the 22 separately listed interests. And moreover, the reason the mutual field right now is, what was 4 to 5 at 7 a.m.? I've got it here in front of me. They are now, they're still 4 to 5, and that's with how much in the wind pool? 42,000 in the wind pool. Hmm. Moreover, the thing about Baffert is he might have a horse he doesn't run until February. And once again, you know, get on him like Justify. There might be one waiting in the wings, him or anybody else. And that's the, as we all know, within the, what is it, 5+ months that between now and the Derby, a whole lot changes, and that's why folks are willing to bet on the field at such a short price.
Well, a quick glance at them too, so that everybody, you know, it's kind of interesting. There's the few offbeat names that made their way in, and horses that are kind of out of sight, and this might be the right pool to get on them. And that includes, you know, the potential for Roadster and Tale of the Union. Tale of the Union, the New York bred, 30-1. Roadster, 30-1. Then you have the more recent, and Magic on Tap too, who's you know, of the seven Baffert's the most obscure. Coliseum is certainly, you know, going to take interest. Game Winner is the lowest of the individual entrants. You mentioned the ones that are going to run this weekend. I mentioned on Tuesday, Marty, in advance of our getting together, that Vekoma from George Weaver is intriguing. Uncle Benny, 50-1 right now. And then the Rudy Brissett preamble, who's only gone six furlongs, but who certainly bred, you know, with enough of a hint that that he could stretch out. So there are some fun horses on the list.
Well, preamble, I asked Darren Rogers and Kevin Kirstein, and they're among the people, them and Ben Huffman and Gary Pomisano, they're the ones that actually composed the list of 22, aside from the filly and then, of course, the field. How much of a bubble they had other than these 22, and they said about 8 or 10. So preamble, I'm sure, was one of them, because Rudy had said, maybe he did or Elliot, that they really weren't thinking about him as a Derby horse. You know, he's by Spidestown, and, you know, he kind of fits the mold of a sprinter. So I think people were listening because he was 50-1 on the morning line. Right now he's 99-1, actually 100-1. He'll pay up $202. And, you know, obviously these will take some updating, but Game Winner 7-1, Coliseum, as you mentioned, the 10-1 second choice among the individually listed horses. So those are the Baffert horses, the heavy heads right now.
Well, let's turn our attention from Kentucky Derby future wager pool number one. The next pool will also be the sire pool next time as well.
Well, no, they have the sire pool going right now. last year, if you would have caught Scat Daddy, he was 26-1. They also have exactas on the sire pool, which I was not really aware of. I don't know why. This is the fourth year they've had it. Yeah, this one goes. The sire goes with this one, and then the Oaks goes with pool three. Pool two is at sometime in February. Then pool three early March. Pool four early April. That's the standard by which they're sticking right now.
Well, I've got I blew it. Then I've got to get the How did I miss the? It wasn't in. Was it in the same body of your advance piece?
Yeah, it was in there.
I got it. What the hell did I do?
I wrote some on DRF Live today. I got both links to both pools today. There's
cool.
Only about
all right.
There's only about 5,000 in the wind pool on the sires. You know, obviously it takes about 1/8 of what pool one will take.
All right, because I took the chart. You didn't have the in your advance. It didn't have the listing the same way with the stallion. You know, with the sire. You know, with the odds the way the individual
sure.
entrance that. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Okay. All right. Well, I
it only had.
All I know.
Yeah.
If Mike Wells says, I don't read the paper, I only write the paper.
Exactly. Well, let's turn from the future wagers to the future action. And the card tomorrow, Marty, is unbelievable. And you can't stress this enough. I mean, they're even on big stakes days, you don't see what happened here. There was a potential. I gave this number to Nick Tamro. There was a potential in these 12 races for 152 horses to be entered, and 145 were. I mean, even more, of course, with the AEs. But the field size, you could have had 14 in the two stakes, and you could have had 12 in virtually the rest of them. And only the fifth race has 11, it could have had 12, and the co-feature, the Goldenrod, could have had 14, it had 8. So there's a total of 145 horses that are, you know, potentially going to run tomorrow. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, 145 two-year-olds, and I think I mentioned this to you over at Keeneland early in the meet as we were assessing one of the two-year-old races. I don't remember it being like this 15 or 20 years ago, and it has to have to do, I think, you know, with all these good horses being at Keeneland and Churchill, namely the two-year-olds, I think it has to do more with California not being as strong as it used to be. I guess a lot of these breeders and owners are choosing to run here. It's just a veritable plethora of well-bred, high-potential, fast, good two-year-olds who run here, and not just on this card tomorrow. We've had a horse here, Unmatchable, and Uncle Mo for Steve Asmussen. He ran off the TV screen. We had a great two-year-old filly race yesterday involving the Brad Cox horse. I'm trying to think who beat him. Larry Jones beat him with some fast two-year-old. They went 109 and change. And, you know, it's just day after day. If you look at the Sunday card even here, Steve, they had so many horses enter on the Stars of Tomorrow card on Saturday that they have carded more two-year-old races on Sunday, both allowance and maiden special. And it's like it never ends. So, you know, we will leave out of here. Closing day, obviously, is Sunday. We will leave out of here and look back at a number of these races as key races wherein these horses all have a chance to go on and do some good down the road.
Oh, there's no doubt. And obviously, this also, you know, these two-year-olds and these fields, you know, these will spread out, you know, amongst Oaklawn come January, February, Fairgrounds, Gulfstream, Tampa. So they're gonna move around, and everybody will benefit. Speaking of which, Tampa, of course, gets underway tomorrow. I don't even know where to start, Marty, with this. I mean, let's start with the stakes, and then we'll hit a couple of points here and there, and then we'll circle back to today's card in the Clark. Some thoughts from you on the Goldenrod and the Jockey Club.
Well, I didn't know where to start in terms of when is the last time the runners-up from both the Juvenile, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, and the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies, when's the last time they both ran back at the same track where they ran the Breeders' Cup. You know, I didn't know where to start on that. But we do have Restless Rider, who was second in the Juvenile Fillies, running back in the Goldenrod. And then we have Nick's Go, who was second at 40-1 behind Game Winner in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. He's the likely favorite, even though he's got post 13 in the Kentucky Jockey Club. So I think they're both going to take a lot of beating, particularly Restless Rider, as good as she ran and as good as she's been. You're still going to have to convince some fans to bet on Nick's Go, even though he was 70-1 and romped in the Breeders' Futurity last month at Keeneland, and then ran bang up a big second behind Game Winner in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Ben Colebrook he wanted to monitor how the horse. I don't know if you've had him on the show since then, but he wanted to monitor how Nick's Go did before he decided on a next race for it. I called him Monday, and he said, we're going in the Jockey Club. They had thought about maybe giving him another couple of weeks and running him against fellow Marylandbreds on December 8th at Laurel in a Marylandbred stake. But he said, no, this is a pretty important race. Plus, you get there are Derby and Oaks eligibility points at stake in both of these stakes. So, yeah, it's a meaningful race tomorrow for all these stakes horses.
How did you pick this?
Let's see. I had Nick's Go over Topper T. I think he'll do a lot better than he did in the Breeders' Cup. And then I think Pletcher's live with both of his horses. The Current, who has been on the turf only so far and came for a day, real nice Belmont maiden winner. I've got it Nick's Go, Topper T, and came for a day.
Well, and Signal Man, of course, who's been, you know, anybody that's followed what's gone on with him, and are we officially, are we just going ahead and calling him Nick's Go, or do we have to acquiesce to the Korean Association, the K-Nick's thing? How are we supposed to go forward with this? Because he's obviously going to be a player.
I hadn't heard anything about that. What, the Korean racing people are wanting to call him K-Nix or what?
It's K-Nix. It as opposed to, you know, those of us who grew up with, you know, with Earl Monroe and Willis Reed that want to say Nix go. K-Nix apparently is the moniker.
Well, that's on another twist. Ralph Nix's mother is named Kay, so there's Kay Nix.
That's hysterical.
So yeah, another country heard from. So,
Kay Nix.
So
that's
anyway,
great.
Yeah, I don't know. In fact, you know, I don't have to say his name. I just got to write it, Vic. That's it.
All right, now we're bet it. Now this should be wildly entertaining. Talk about the Phillies side of things.
I guess Restless Rider, I haven't seen the morning line. She's got to be close to even money, I would guess.
Yeah, she's what they do with her, they made her 7-5.
Yeah, I mean, maybe 4-5. Her race at Keeneland was so good. She really didn't have an excuse in the Breeders' Cups. The trip was just perfect under Brian Hernandez, which is typical for him. And when they turned for home, I thought for sure she was going to reel in Jaywalk, but no, it was the exact opposite. Jaywalk just bid goodbye. But you know, I think it's her. I've got Reflect rebounding off what was had to be. I didn't have a chance. Well, actually, Byron wrote about the Goldenrod. I'd be interested to see why she ran so bad in the Breeders' Cup. There had to be something went awry, I would presume. So I've got her second to run back like she did at Keeneland.
You know, Break Curfew, the Klarovich Into Mischief filly that Chad Brown sends, being asked to stretch from 6 furlongs to 8.5 and was made 9-5 second choice, which is, you know, it's aggressive.
Well, that's the power of Chad, right?
Yeah.
I mean, half. Yeah.
But the thing is, how much other speed? I mean, if she's gonna set the pace, and she drew the 8-hole, so certainly Castellano is at least gonna, you know, have to use her a little bit to gain some early position, but I don't see a whole lot of speed really inside her. In fact, I'm not sure. I mean, where is the other speed coming from in this race? Why can't, you know, she's dangerous, I think, if she gets to lope along onto the backstretch.
I mean, Restless Rider's fast. She has a real good turn of foot. It doesn't matter what distance. You know, when she blew away the field in the Bashford Manor, she went from the half-mile pole to the quarter pole like that. I mean, I'm not – as they get longer, obviously, they tend to not utilize that kind of speed. But I think that the folks are going to be betting on Restless Rider being able to reel her in at will.
I will tell you, the horse that is overlaid in here, at least on the morning line, it'll be interesting to see how, you know, people bet beyond the top choices, but Leora is a horse that Wayne Catalano, the Candy Ride filly for Coffee Pot, they've loved her from word go. It took her a couple of extra starts to break her maiden, but she's dirtied up in here a little bit on figures anyway, and I think she's a lot better than that number. And she broke her maiden, stretching out to a mile and a 16th right there at Churchill, and at 12-1, I'm certainly using Leora. A couple of other highlights around the card. What else caught your eye?
Well, I mean, we've got the thing is it's supposed to rain tonight, starting like after the Clark. It's supposed to start raining around 8 or 9 or whatever, and like kind of rain all night. So that may jeopardize. I'm looking at the overnight right now. The first race tomorrow is an allowance on turf. That would probably, you know, ruin that. We've got a real nice maiden race as the third on turf. And then we've got the sixth race, another maiden race for fillies on turf, all of them going long. So let's hope that, let's hope that the rain isn't too harsh, because we've already got a saturated, as you know, turf course here. So, but a number of really nice allowance and maiden races. You got Jack Van Berg, the horse, coming back in race number 8 off that very emotional win for his son Tommy on Breeders' Cup Friday. And, I mean, you can just pick any race, and it's there's going to be some things of interest to them.
Very much. And you mentioned the Jack Van Berg presence in the eighth race, going the 6.5 distant shore in there as well for the Churchill Downs Racing Club, the Tom Amos winner that has pretty much, exceeded expectation with every performance. So there's a note, and there's plenty of pedigree in here. And in fact, who caught my eye in the second race? David Vance at 15-1 has got Kiss More, and that's a the minute I saw that, Mart, and I'm just going, where's my PP? There they are. Kiss More out of Kiss Mind. That was the Mineshaft Dam was a wonderful stake horse for David Vance. And Kiss More, I think, by More Than Ready, she's got every reason to be a nice horse, and she's going to stretch out. And she was okay in her debut race back in October. So Kiss More at a price caught my eye.
Yeah, she drew a decent amount of play. A lot of times those Vance firsters won't get much, but she was only 8-1 in that field, so she's got a right to improve, I would think.
Well, Mart, we also should touch on what else has transpired. That includes the win in the Cardinal for Rusty Arnold and Calumet with their homebred English Channel filly, English Affair, and we also had the other stake too, the Fall City, where you had a little bit of an upset anyway.
Well, Divine Miss Gray, she didn't break perfectly, so immediately Tyler Gaffleon was in a jackpot, and a couple of the other jocks made sure he stayed there as long as they could keep her there. And then meanwhile, Chris Block had the filly, the heretofore a turf filly, Prado's last ride, and she just waltzed on the lead and came home an easy winner. I called Chris Block. He was not here. He tends to not come to many of the races in Kentucky and just deputizes. But I called him. First I texted him. He didn't respond, so I called him. I was just interested to see what he had. He was at his mom and dad's house in Philo, Illinois, P-H-I-L-O. And both Kate and Bradard and I had to – she had never heard of him. She grew up, in that general vicinity, so – I looked it up. There's 1,400 people that live there. Anyway, Chris was just giddy, that he had won that. And, he's such a nice guy.
Yeah, he is.
I was kind of glad to see it. Gargan was a little disappointed that Tyler wasn't a little more aggressive, because that filly, she really never leveled off real nice. You could kind of tell she was uncomfortable, didn't know she was in an unfamiliar position. So I thought both the races – in general, both those filly and mare races yesterday were a little subpar for the course. They've run the Fall City now 103 times. We've had better renewals, but nonetheless, it's some great racing here yesterday. We had, like I mentioned, a number of terrific maiden races, and that will continue today, tomorrow, and all the way through Sunday, and then a lot of us leave for warmer climates shortly thereafter.
Including you for Florida. But before we talk about the Clark today, how about Brett Calhoun at 55-1 yesterday?
Tabbed by Hermes. I did not bet. Big deal. I was the same.
No. Oh, tabbed my God.
Yeah. I didn't bet because I got talked into the Brad Cox hot one in there. So I just played a pick five where I started with Cox, and he was an okay third. But meanwhile, Brett, that horse had every right, with the works and the pedigree. So paid $110.
Unbelievable.
So anyway, turn the page.
Well, we should mention that Norm Cassie, the runner-up, the Shady Violence, that happens to look like a decent prospect too. The Violence filly for Bat Masterson and Glencrest. Shady Violence, they dueled to the wire.
They all came well recommended. A lot of those, I had five or six tips in both of those 2-year-old maiden filly races yesterday.
How about that? All right. Well, let's turn to today, Mart, to finish, and quick thoughts about the Clark and the Mrs. Revere.
Well, Dallas Stewart has had he's just been unconscious at this week. Not only or his Saints, you know, running everybody out of the gym. But, yeah, Dallas has won like 9 for about 30. As we all know, he's got a pretty decent side stable. I guess he's got 50 horses or something like that. But the other guys, you know, the Coxes and the Asmussens and the Makers of the world, they've got well into the triple digits. And I think it's the relative brevity of this meet, being just 21 days, that gives Dallas a chance to hold on. He's got 9 wins now into these last 3 days. So obviously he has a huge chance today with Seeking the Soul, the defending champion, the 123-pound highweight, 8-5 favorite. It sure seems like it could set up for him, although Prime Attraction ran huge at Keeneland. And depending on how it all unfolds with him and Leofric, this is a very interesting renewal of the Clark. And I've picked Prime Attraction over Seeking the Soul. But Dallas is so hot right now that it's hard to go against it.
Now, in addition to the Grade 1, we've got the Mrs. Revere, the 3-year-old fillies, going 1/16 on the grass.
They got Chad at 2-1 in there. What's the filly's name? I've got it right here. Help me here, Vic.
Stella de Camelot.
Yeah, they got her 2-1. I think she's going to be lower than that. I'm confused here a little bit. All right, yeah, Stella de Camelot. And there are no scratches, by the way, in either the Mrs. Revere, which is race 10 today, nor the Clark, which is race 11. They both go, Mrs. Revere goes a little bit before 5:30 Eastern. Princess Warrior is a 7-2 second choice. I really don't think so. Cool Beans has kind of been a marginal, have-it-her-own-way kind of front runner and allowance and stakes. I think Chad's even money is in there. And Rosario's in here today. Of course, he only knocked out $5.8 million here Breeders' Cup weekend. So I'm sure he's happy to return. Maybe they got a check waiting for him.
Well, Mart, I appreciate it. A fabulous way to close out what has been a banner meet. Started with the Breeders' Cup week, of course, and has really the racing has been outstanding from start to finish, and finishing strong. And then attention will turn to Florence, y'all, and Turfway Park.
Turfway starts on Wednesday. They're not running Sundays there the whole winter. I guess they got tired of bucking football and everything else, but they're running mostly a Wednesday through Saturday schedule up there, mostly evenings where they start around 6. And, a lot of these guys, a lot of the horsemen and the DRF correspondents, they're going to leave out. I'm leaving right after Christmas, but I think some of these other people are going to. We got a number of guys. Brian Hernandez trying Florida for the first time with Landeros and La Perue. And Alvarado is going to be down there. So there's 4 of our jocks down there. Otherwise, we're going to fairgrounds like Giroux and the rest. And then some of the other guys go to Oakland. So everybody kind of disperses till we meet back here again in early April for Keeneland.
Unbelievable. Well, it's been great, Marty. I appreciate it, and we will catch up to you in Florida along the way. Thanks for everything. I appreciate it. Marty McGee, everybody, DRF McGee, and lock in on Mart these next 3 days. Big finish. And today, very good late pick 4 today, Churchill. Let's take a break, and tomorrow, of course, is nuts. I haven't looked at Sunday yet. There's just been too much. Going to slip Scully in here for a quick 15, and we'll get some plays from James and see how his first Thanksgiving was as a married man. Back after this, James Scully.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get 5 full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for 5 of today's top tracks. Visit DRF.com/multi-track today.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/RaceLens.
Right here.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
We're back at the races, about 15 to the top of the hour. We're going to hear from Dr. Benson in the next hour. Dion Benson, of course, from the Racing Medication and Testing Consortium, RMTC. And they're having their annual halter auction. And they raised a lot of money last year. And she'll talk about where the money goes and all the good that it does. And for those that are looking for hard to find Christmas gifts, halter auction. This is your chance. And of course, James Scully got haltered earlier this year. His first Thanksgiving and holiday season as a husband. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Where'd you spend Thanksgiving?
Well, you know, we just took it easy at home. Had ham biscuits for breakfast, and then all the traditional fare, big meal in the afternoon, and a couple pieces of pecan pie for dessert. So just a lovely day.
Very nice. And you able to slip in a couple of wagers?
Yeah, I definitely watched some of the action, and really going to focus more on the racing this weekend. I mean, like you mentioned earlier in the show, just dynamite cards at Churchill today and tomorrow, and going to be up there tomorrow for that Stars of Tomorrow program.
Excellent. And Ed there, we'll talk to Ed in the next hour too before the pregame ceremonies start for Clark Day at Churchill Downs, and you can watch James tomorrow. And let's dive in for a couple of just 10 minutes or so, and just get some opinions out, James. And we'll get to the 2-year-olds, which is just so compelling. And we just had Marty on, and we danced around. But today, a quick couple of thoughts about the Clark and the Revere and anything else that caught your eye.
Okay, well, yeah, I'll definitely with the Clark. You know, I think Marty was talking about, I mean, Dallas Stewart, I mean, his horse is just running so well. He had that MG Warrior yesterday, now won like four of his last five starts for him. And I just think Seeking the Soul, he could have hit the board in the Breeders' Cup Classic. I mean, that was a good second last time. He likes that track. He's just peaking right now. So he's the clear horse to beat. One thing about the Clark handicap that, taking a closer look at it, is I just think there's like some pace in there. I mean, Prime Attraction is going to show speed from the rail. Leo Frick is going to be forwardly placed. But you have a couple of wild cards on the outside, more like cheap speed types. I mean, this Storm Advisory, a sprinter, shows back-to-back Bullet Works, 46 flat, 47 flat. I just think it's easy to envision Albin Jimenez sending him right to the front. And it could set up for it's a kind of race where, you know, I talk about this often. I like to play straight exactive sometimes when I like a favorite. And I'm looking at both Hence and Hawakum as runner-up candidates behind Seeking the Soul. So I may just play a couple straight exactas that way and single Seeking the Soul and multi-race bets in the Clark.
Yeah, I could see that. Absolutely. All right, what else today?
Well, I thought in the Mrs. Revere, last year in August, Cool Bean, she broke her maiden first time out via disqualification. She came back this year in one of the best allowance races of the year on April 11th at Keeneland. Toinette came back, beat Russian Fall in the Edgewood, lost Signanary, won the Wonder again next out at Belmont Park. Cool Beans was a good third there. Brad Cox brought her back in a couple of dirt races. I mean, she ran okay there. But when you put her back on the turf, I like her progression. She ran second to a nice filly for Motion Colonia in that Hatsu Stakes. And then she won on August 16th at Saratoga, beat a pretty decent field. I just thought that was huge for her confidence. I mean, she had never finished first in a race in her career. And then last time at Keeneland, another really solid effort. And I just think in this spot, the Miss Revere, she's going to be lone speech. She's been controlling the pace. Florent Giroux did a great job yesterday on that Prado Sweet Rob, using the advantage out of the starting gate. And I like Cool Beans wire to wire in the Miss Revere.
Anything else from today?
Yeah, I'll give you one other. In the race before that, race number 9, it's a 1 mile allowance, and in these races, outside posts have been doing well all meet. You got this Mo's Mojo's out there. Admiral could be a nice horse for Nacho Correas off of in his third start. But I took a closer look at this number 10, Big Jimmy, who has Gabriel Saez, who won two races yesterday. And after he came back with a third at Fairgrounds in February, he was freshened until September. And in that race two back at 6.5 furlongs, he broke poorly. He was rushing. He was rallying into contention when he went to go for a hole, and that MG Warrior beat him that hole, and he had to check and came again late. It was a good second. Last time, another just, I thought, bad trip where, despite breaking from the far outside in a short field, he was forced to check on the first turn. Finished with good interest, and that race came back fast. 93 for speed rating. He's a top last out figure. I think Big Jimmy's going to be every bit of 6-1 and has a chance to run well. I'm picking him in race 9 for Brett Calhoun.
Nice. Big Jimmy, good job. And it's a great sequence. I didn't look at the starter allowance that starts the pick 5, but the late pick 4 that includes both stakes and then finishes with a maiden special. It's a nice sequence. So those that are just getting ready to dive into Saturday's or today's action, give that a long look. Let's turn to Saturday. And, James, I mean, this is obviously you were listening earlier, and I mean, these numbers are just outlandish. I mean, they have virtually every race other than the Philly Stake filled to capacity. I mean, it's amazing. And to be, restricted to 2-year-olds, incredible. And also, when you think about how many of these horsemen have got exterior barns going, you know, down in Florida and already at Fairgrounds, it's even more remarkable that this card filled out the way it did. And then, as Marty said, even it overflowed into Sunday.
Yeah, it really did. And, you know, it's like every single race tomorrow is like a full field, like you said. And really, with the two-year-old stakes, I mean, we have the runner-up in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies and the runner-up and third-place finisher in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile coming back 3 weeks later for both stakes. So just really dynamite fields. You know, to me, like Mix Go, really a tough outside draw, I thought, out there. There's some other speed in that field, and I'm willing to take a chance against him. Now, I really like Signal Man. I mean, I give him a big chance. He'll be in all my multi-race bets, but still a little worried about that trip. I mean, I'm wondering what Brian Hernandez is going to do from the rail. Is he going to get shuffled back, or you know, I just don't think he has the tactical speed to be up there. And the horse I'm going with, Steve, is the Pluska Parfait. You know, that first time out on turf, you know, ran third to Henley's Joy, who we all know, you know, huge race in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile turf. Even that next start on dirt, you know, he was inside that day and was pushing the pace. That was a really, I thought, solid effort. But I love that maiden win at Keelan on October 7th. Let me just say, you know, when he was on that far turn there, tracking the front runner, cutting home, came back and, you know, won easily his next start down in Florida for Pletcher, made a run at him, and that forced the jock to push the button on Pluska Parfait. He, like, shrugged off that challenge, and I just thought Harvey Wallbanger almost, like, slingshot off the far turn. He got a half length in front of him, showed tremendous, determination to battle back on the inside and win. Has a couple of sharp work sense for Brendan Walsh, who really had a slow year. I mean, the 13% win from 343 starters, but he has started to heat up. His barn has. He has two wins and a second from his last five starts at Churchill Downs. I think he's got a real live contender earlier in the card as well. And so I like Pluska Parfait. It might not be 20-1 that she is on the morning line, but that he is. But I think he's going to sit also a great trip, like right behind the speed, you know, from post five tomorrow.
Well, as much as he's been talked about on the show, between me having Brendan on and us lauding and you and Nick, it's crazy. And Marty, it's pretty funny.
Marty doesn't have him in his top three. I was like, thank you.
That'll help. Too funny. All right. What about the girl? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and Goldenrod, you know, to me, that, you know, you have to respect break curfew. I'm not too keen on looking at this race as a slam dunk for Restless Rider, because of the pace scenario that you had mentioned. He does have a little bit of that complexity feel where, you know, Into Mischief's not, you know, can get two-turn winners like McLean's Music, but this female family is just speed on speed. The Dam was, with stakes placed in sprints, and is a full sister to that sprint stakes winner, Zeta Bell, who, you know, ran well in some stake races at Saratoga and elsewhere. So just a lot of, like, speed in that pedigree. I don't know if she's going to be able to get the distance or not. Restless Rider, you know, could just set a great trip behind her as well and then just pounce. But I'm a little intrigued by this Gold Credit. I really thought last time that was a pretty solid little maiden race. We'll get a read on her first start because Blunt Force, who ran third that day, is in race two tomorrow. And if that filly runs well, like I think she will in that spot, that's going to increase my opinion of Gold Credit. John B. has to work out a trip from the rail, but I think this Golden Sense filly, her dam's a half-sister to Sharp Humor. So it's a, you know, $160,000 purchase, pretty classy female family. I think she's still got a lot of upside after walking out of the starting gate in her debut and winning going away by a length and a half. Joe Bravo's not up on her because he's in California to ride a pair of Stidham horses in the stakes.
How about around the rest of this card? No shortage of fascinating placements. You've got some of the allowance horses cutting back in distance, and there's basically one of everything. They're long, short, male, female, turf, dirt.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a little bit difficult to get a gauge what kind of price. I know in race number 7 tomorrow at Churchill, Lunar Orbit is, you know, 3-1 on the morning line. But I was really super impressed by that race that Orm Philly ran. Marty talked about how hot Dallas Stewart is. I mean, his barn is just on fire right now. And that filly to me looks like a possible single, you know, type in multi-race bets. I really think a lot of that Orm Philly going in there. And I'll tell you, I'm willing to gamble on that Jack Van Berg race being completely legitimate on Breeders' Cup Friday. That race came back fast. Van Berg's won with 4 of his last 12 starters, and John Quinn gets that on the lead. That horse is going to be tough to run down in race 8, I think.
Any of the maiden, you scare up anything mm-hmm. within the maiden ranks?
Well, like I said, I'm going to play in race number 2. You know, I'm keen on that Blunt Force. You know, she is listed at what is she listed at? She's a decent price in there, but yeah, I'm looking for her to really take a
8-1
forward off. Yeah, 8-1 in there. So but hopefully, you know, like, I mean, once again, I mean, there's always a chance for some value in these races, even with the most logical-looking horses on paper. So, yeah, number 5 in race 2, Blunt Force. I'm going to be on that Paul McGee filly. I thought she ran a good race last time.
James Scully, everybody. James underscore Scully.
One other horse roll for you.
Hey.
You know, I love horses stepping up in class, you know, to the proper spot. Love Ohio in that Seabiscuit. Claimed 2 starts back. I'm going to single him in any Del Mar late multi-race bets. That Seabiscuit, not the most formidable group of horses.
Yep.
And I'll ride with Ohio.
There you go. Good job.
Thanks, Steve.
James,
have a great weekend.
You too. We'll talk next week. James Scully, everybody. And James will be on the Stars of Tomorrow feed from Churchill. Ed DeRosa later. We'll get Ed's thoughts. We'll talk maybe with Ed, talk a little. He loves the futures. See what he thinks of the future wager list and see if he's going to punch anything up. We'll punch up Dr. Dion Benson, the RMTC, Racing Medication and Testing Consortium. They've got their halter auction starting today. It closes out next Friday, so you'll get a few more reminders. They raised, I think, $25,000 last year, and for those of you that have an interest, I've got a couple of halters myself. I think they're some of the coolest collectibles in not just racing, but in sport, and you're going to have just a glittering list of halters to choose from. I'll check and see actually if they've thrown the switch. This is a really nice group of horses this year, and this has become, you know, perfect timing too, ahead of the holidays. So if you got somebody that you know is a gigantic fan of any of the horses we're going to talk about. And then Dr. Benson will discuss what's been going on at RMTC as well. We haven't had a chance to really to talk to her the second half of the year at all. But with the research grants and with all the work that RMTC does and has done now for years toward supporting clean racing and a balanced playing field. Dr. Benson joins us next from RMTC.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, Plus, you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at expressbet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.